Hello and welcome to Opus on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Gretchen Gondek, your host today, and our special guest, Ellen Osborne, is in studio, and we're going to be exploring music she has selected in the next hour as part of her personal musical playlist. Hello, Ellen, and welcome.
Hello, Gretchen. Thank you for having me.
First met you at the Orpheum Theater when you were cast in the musical West Side Story. We're going to be hearing some of that later on as well. How is it that you came to be in Sioux City? We, of course, know your mom and dad, John and Mary Daniels. You have obviously moved back to Sioux City.
Right. So I grew up here in Sioux City, little town north of Sioux City, Hinton. Went to school, left for a while, went various places, Des Moines, San Diego, Fresno, California, and then back to Sioux City about 11 years ago or so. So came back home. I'm married. I have two wonderful kids and happy to be here in Sioux City.
And you're actually, as your dad and mother are, you're an attorney.
I am. I went to undergrad at Briarcliff here in Sioux City, where I studied music, and then after that went to law school at the University of Iowa, where I met my now husband, Anthony. And yes, so I am an attorney and a musician at the same time.
And you've actually gone back to school. You're at the University of South Dakota.
Yes. So just this fall, I started the master's program. I'm working on a master's degree in vocal performance up at USD. And I'm loving it. I'm having a ball getting back into kind of my first love, so to speak, of music and singing in particular.
Let's get into the playlist because it's so interesting, and I love how you have lined up all these different pieces. We're going to hear a selection that your dad, John Daniels, he shared a very poignant story with me about this piece of music, that when you were a little girl, he used to listen to you play this, and it still he still has an emotional response to that.
Yes, it's a beautiful piece, Traumerei by Robert Schumann. I took piano lessons forever growing up. I started when I was five with Eleanor Tasker, and this piece, Traumerei, it's one of the few pieces I can still sit down to this day and play from memory. I love it. It's a beautiful piece, and it's a favorite of mine.
And we'll hear it now, not performed by you, unfortunately, but the next best thing, Vladimir Horowitz at the piano.
Thank you.
a live recording with Vladimir Horowitz at the piano performing Robert Schumann's Traumerei. And that's a very special piece of music for you and
it
your
is.
Dad.
Yes.
It's John Daniels.
It's a favorite. It's a favorite. It's beautiful. And I enjoy playing it when I can.
And moving along with our playlist, Alan, next I see, well, this is a favorite for everybody. We're going to be hearing music from The Wizard of Oz Over the Rainbow. So tell us a little bit more about your memories associated with that.
Sure. Well, the main memory is when I was in high school, I went to Hinton High School with Minda Thompson was my teacher, and we did the musical, The Wizard of Oz, and I got to be Dorothy. So I got to sing this song as part of the production, and also I got to have my little dog, Muffin, got to be Toto, which was really fun. And then later, when I got to law school, so the University of Iowa used to have a law school musical. I think that tradition has since gone away, but it used to be that there was a law school musical every fall. And so my first year of law school, I was like, what, a law school musical? You know, having a music background and then going to law school, but hearing they have a musical, it was very, a little confusing at first, but it was really fun. And we did The Wizard of Laws. So Dr. Mary Day at Briarcliff. So I studied with her during high school and then again during college and also after college. I've worked with her off and on over the years, more regularly again these last couple of years. And so she has been my voice teacher for a very long time. I'm now up at USD, so I'm studying up there with Dr. Trace Lynn Gesteland up there, and she's wonderful too. So, yes.
And I'm wondering, you said you have two children.
I do.
And is the film, The Wizard of Oz, is that something that you...
You know, they haven't seen it yet.
They're too little.
I think they might just be a little freaked out about parts of it still. I don't know. That's a good point. We should try it. The older one, especially, he's 10 now. I think he could handle it, but.
Well, the witch, even for me today, she is still.
She's scary.
Kind of a scary
mm-hmm.
part of the film. Are they familiar with this particular song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
That is a good question that I guess I don't know. I don't know, but now I'm going to sit down and have them watch the movie because they should be.
Absolutely. Well, let's listen now. This is not Judy Garland singing. It's an orchestral arrangement of Now Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. a lovely arrangement of Somewhere Over the Rainbow from, of course, the film The Wizard of Oz. And we're back with our guest today, Ellen Osborne, as we're working through her playlist. And what is next?
Next, I believe we have Susanna's aria from The Marriage of Figaro, De Vieni Non Tardar. When I was in college at Briar Cliff, we presented the entire opera, The Marriage of Figaro, by Mozart. And it was, I often said and still say that it was one of the best experiences musically that I've had. The opportunity to learn that role and perform it, and do the whole opera with an orchestra. We performed it in St. Boniface Cathedral here in Sioux City, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous church with all of these pinks and golds and blues, and it's very ornate. And
that would be a perfect setting.
It was perfect. It was wonderful. It was a thrill to do. And so this is Susanna's aria from, I believe, Act 4 of The Marriage of Figaro.
And exactly what's happening with the aria?
Well, a lot of operas from this time, and there are a couple of Mozart's particularly, who have, the storylines are just kind of ridiculous. So they involve love triangles and rectangles and all sorts of different crazy shapes, and people disguising themselves as other people and trying to trick each other, you know, trying to catch the other person maybe cheating by disguising themselves. And so they're just silly, outrageous storylines. But in this aria, Susanna she's been trying to trick Figaro, who she's engaged to. She's been trying to trick him into thinking that she's going to have a secret rendezvous with the Count. And so she's singing this song about let's get together, I can't wait to see you. And she knows that Figaro is hiding. He's spying on her. And so she's making it sound like she's going to meet the Count and they're going to have this little rendezvous. But she's really just trying to get Figaro jealous, basically. At least that's the way it starts out. But then once she starts singing, she sort of shifts to actually thinking about Figaro. And so she's singing, come my beloved, I will crown you with roses. And it turns into this really sweet, beautiful aria about love.
Was this your first performance and experience with opera?
It was. And it's really special to me because when I first started college, I was a major, and still am, I still love musical theater, but musical theater was my love. And that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't really know anything about opera. So when I went to college, I actually started college at Luther College in Decorah and then transferred to Briar Cliff. But anyway, so I started college and I signed up for a class called musical theater. And I assumed it would be what I think of as musical theater. And I got there and it was opera. And at first I thought, what? Opera? Ugh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But they were doing scenes from Marriage of Figaro. And I was cast as Susanna. And so I really, during that class and working on some of Susanna's songs, I really came to appreciate and love opera. It sort of seemed like, at least musically, it was just another level, like a different, it's hard to explain, but it was, I loved it. And so Marriage of Figaro was kind of my first introduction to opera, and then also kind of, in a way, a culminating experience, at least of my undergraduate career in music and opera.
Was this with a small orchestra and costumes and the whole
bit? Greg Fuller was at Briar Cliff at the time, and so he put together an orchestra I know it was a lot of symphony musicians. I still remember John Main was in it playing the cello, and it was a professional orchestra and costumes, and it was wonderful. We borrowed costumes from Iowa State, I believe. They had done The Marriage of Figaro fairly recently, so we were able to borrow costumes from them, and they were these big, beautiful satin ball gowns. They were just gorgeous. It was really fun.
And we talked about the setting, and I'm if I'm thinking correctly, it is sort of a Rococo style, is it not?
Exactly. It's yes, the setting is very ornate and beautiful, and so the music just fit in perfectly with the setting.
Oh, how wonderful. I wish I'd been there. Oh, well.
Me too.
Let's listen now. We're going to hear the voice of Dawn Upshaw in music now from The Marriage of Figaro. The voice of Dawn Upshaw performing music from The Marriage of Figaro. And Ellen Osborne, what is that aria?
That aria is, it's Susanna's aria towards the end of the opera, and she's singing of love and singing for Figaro, her soon-to-be husband.
Now, do you have a list of favorite sopranos that you can share with us? Because I always to ask that question.
We talked a little bit. We both love Renee Fleming. She's a gorgeous singer. I like Kathleen Battle, Dawn Upshaw, Barbara Bonney is another one. There's a new one I've been listening to a lot, Lizette Oropesa. She's got this amazing technique, and she's really fun to listen to and watch. She's done some things at the Met, including Hansel and Gretel, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But so she's kind of one of my favorites now.
And next, we're going to be focusing on a choral work, the Pia Jesu from Faure's Requiem. Tell us a little bit about why this is meaningful to you.
This is meaningful to me for a couple of reasons. I sang this with the Briarcliff Choir after I'd graduated. So as an alumnus, I came back and did the soprano solo with this work when Briarcliff presented the entire work. I came back and sang the Pia Jesu. I also sang it for my grandfather's funeral, which is another reason it's special to me. But it's a beautiful soprano piece. And I love the whole Faure Requiem. It's one of, I think, one of the most beautiful requiems out there.
And you have, I'm assuming, done a number of requiems.
Yes. When I was at Briarcliff, we did the Mozart Requiem. And I sang another one, I believe, when I lived out in Fresno, California for a while and sang with the community chorus out there. And my mind is blanking on which one it was, but I know there are lots of them out there. But this 4A1, I love the whole thing. It's beautiful.
Well, let's listen to one of our mutual favorite sopranos here now, Kathleen Battle, and we'll hear the Pia Jesu. And what does that mean?
It's a good question. I should know this.
I used to know, and I've forgotten.
It's please. I think it's please Jesus or dear Jesus. Pia Jesu. Gosh. Ask me after we play it.
I think that's right. I think that's right. So here then, the voice of Kathleen Battle, Carlo Maria Giulini leads the Philharmonic Orchestra for music from Gabriel Fauré's Requiem.
Thank you.
the beautiful voice of Kathleen Battle performing Pia Jesu from the Requiem of Gabriel Fauré, and that was quite lovely.
It is beautiful, and I looked it up to refresh my memory. Pious Lord Jesus, give them everlasting rest, is the translation.
And you were sharing with me while the music was playing that you've actually heard Kathleen Battle in concert.
I have. When I was, I believe, in high school, my parents took me and my siblings and me to see Kathleen Battle in concert in Chicago. And we sat in the very back row of this large hall in Chicago. And I just remember, well, she was wearing this gorgeous red dress, but also her voice, even in the very back row, just soared over all the seats and reached all the way back to where we were sitting. And it was just the most beautiful silvery voice. It was quite an experience.
And you and I, of course, are on the same page when it comes to music and classical music as an important part of every child's education.
Definitely.
And what we are seeing in curriculums across the United States is music is disappearing from public education.
Yes, and that's such a tragedy. It's such an important part of a child's education and development and overall education just as a person. You know, the arts in general are so important to rounding out a person's education. And yeah, so definitely I'm a strong supporter of keeping music and arts in the schools as much as we can.
And your mom and dad obviously exposed you to a lot of different kinds of music as a child.
They did. We were very lucky growing up that my family, we would take vacations and they would take us to, I remember seeing Cats on Broadway. That was the first ever Broadway show I saw. And I was just amazed. And for years, I dressed up as a cat for Halloween. I had this white bodysuit thing that I wore for Halloween. I actually got to be in Cats here in Sioux City with the Betty Ling Sang Fine Arts Series. And that was wonderful. Just a really fun kind of dream come true moment for me. But so yes, my parents took us to lots of concerts and shows. And so that was, that exposure was really fortunate.
I'm remembering the production of Cats, and I don't think I knew who you were just at that time, but wasn't it like 180 degrees?
It was so hot, and we're outside, and we're in these, you know, I mean, Cats, it's body suits, and it's these big fur wigs and full cat face makeup. And I remember, a couple of the characters have to wear these really big, heavy suits. And I remember Steve Lundberg, this old Deuteronomy, and he's in this huge fur coat. And it was so hot and bright, shining sun. But it was a wonderful thing. And that's where I first met Randy Peters, who is a good friend. And I feel so lucky to know him. And
he's wonderful.
He is wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. And you were reunited with Randy a year ago, December?
Yes.
Okay. And I was so privileged to be at that performance of Amal and the Night Visitors, which the staging at, what church is it?
First Congregational Church.
Was perfect.
It was. It was a great place to do that. And
so tell us about the production and your role as the mother.
Sure. Well, Amal and the Night Visitors is an opera written by Giancarlo Menotti, and it was written in the 1950s. The exact year is escaping me, but it was actually the first ever live opera written for television. and it was performed live on television on Christmas Eve. And I want to say 1959, but I don't quote me on that.
I think that's about right.
It's about right around there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now we have these musicals and things, all these musicals being performed live on television lately. There's the Jesus Christ Superstar, and but this was kind of the first time that ever happened. So it was first performed live, and it became a tradition where it was played every year on Christmas Eve for a number of years. So it's this beautiful Christmas story. Amal is a boy, and we had an amazing Amal, Nathan Kittrell. He was so good. And he and his mother live together. The father, I believe, has passed away. And they're very poor. They don't have a lot to eat. And the mother is distraught. What am I going to do? When one night they're visited by the three kings. And the kings are on their way to see this newborn baby, this newborn child. And so it's all about their visit and kind of interaction with this mother and her child. And it's a neat story. We performed it at First Congregational Church. They were gracious to host this production. And we had a live orchestra. Eleanor May Patterson put together this group. And it was... We had these gorgeous costumes that Randy found somewhere. I don't remember. I think he rented some of them from a university, but I'm not exactly sure. And a lot of them were just from his personal. He has an amazing collection of costumes and hats and antiques and amazing things. And it was an amazing experience. I've said amazing about 100 times. It was really a wonderful experience with wonderful people and so much fun to do.
Had you done them all before?
No, Ellen? I had no.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, this must have been very special.
It was. And it brought back in Mary Day again. She was the musical director, and she coached all of us with our singing parts. And then Deanna Mumgard was the director, and she was good in kind of pushing me a little bit outside of my comfort zone as far as the acting side of things. I've always been pretty comfortable singing, but the actual acting part is a little bit more challenging for me as a person. So it was great. It was a great experience. And hopefully, there's been rumors that we might do it again, but I'm not sure exactly if that'll happen or not, but I hope so.
Well, we'll definitely stay tuned on that.
Yes.
And I happen to have the original cast recording of the NBC telecast, Christmas Eve 1951. I was born in 1951. You were close. We were both close, but part of my experience was I did grow up with this and watched it on television, of course, back then in black and white. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was always something very special. And to see it live, I'd never seen it live before, but production was just wonderful. So I hope it will continue, because I think we all need that. I think it's important. Yeah.
I would love for that to happen.
Well, shall we listen to, do you want to set this up, what we're going to hear?
Yes. So we're going to hear the mother's aria, All That Gold. So at this point, the kings have arrived at the house and they have fallen asleep, and they have with them all of these gifts that they're bringing to the newborn king, the newborn baby Jesus. So they have this big chest of gold. And it's just sitting there on the table. And so this is sung by the mother. Everyone else is asleep in the house. And as often happens, the mother is still awake, worrying about things, worrying about how am I going to feed my child the next week? Where are things going to go from here? And so she's sitting there looking at this giant chest of gold. And really thinking about the unfairness of it all, that here's all this gold going to some baby king who is this, you know, who is this baby and why does he get all this gold? And here I am wondering where our next meal is going to come from. So she's looking at the gold and she's struggling internally with, ooh, maybe if I just took a little bit of that gold, would they even notice? So it's her struggle.
Music from Minotti's Amahl and the Night Visitors, and we're continuing our conversation with Alan Osborne, who appeared in a local production of that last December.
Yes, we did it last December at First Congregational Church. It was a performance with a small orchestra and a full cast, and it was really just a wonderful, wonderful experience, a great Christmas time opera.
And we're going to, I'm kind of fiddling around here with CDs as we're talking, Alan. We're going to continue with another large chorus from the finale of Falstaff. And I'm presuming that you were in this as well.
Yes. So this is the end of Falstaff. And this is special to me because
tutto del mondo è burla l'uomo, è nato burlone, 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 tutto nel mondo è burla l'uomo, è nato burlone, 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 tutto nel mondo è burla l'uomo, è nato burlone, 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 tutto nel mondo è burla l'uomo. Tutti campati, 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 tutti campati
The music of Verdi from the finale of Falstaff, and we are visiting with our special guest today, Ellen Osborne, who appeared in Falstaff at Opera Omaha. That must have been quite thrilling.
It was a lot of fun. It's a fun opera. It's a silly opera. It was a lot of fun.
And that brings us now to West Side Story. You were chosen out of I don't know how many who auditioned. Explain your role and how this all came to pass as you were cast in West Side Story with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. So this was another one of those I'm just going to try this ideas. I saw the Sioux City Symphony was doing West Side Story last spring, and they advertised local auditions as well as auditions in New York. And so I thought, well, this would sure be fun to be a part of. And they invited people to submit recordings of themselves. So I submitted a recording. I just figured, well, can't hurt to try. Why not? So I sent in a recording. And then one day, just out of the blue, I got a call from Ryan Haskins, and he just said, Ellen, the directors for West Side Story are in town, and they'd like to meet with you. And I was, sure, great, that sounds great. And he said, how about right now? And so, of course, I said, sure, of course, I'll be right there. And I quickly, you know, dropped the kids off at my husband's office and went down to the symphony office, and the director and choreographer from New York were there, Chris Murra,
and Adam Fleming. Amazing.
Wonderful, yeah. People. Yes. Yeah. So they were there with Ryan and Travis, and they just said, would you like to be a part of West Side Story? And I said, of course. So that's how it happened. It was just one of those, you know, if there's an opportunity and you're not sure, you know, just try, you know, just apply for it, because you never know. You never know what can happen. So,
and your character was Glad Hand.
Glad Hand, yes. So Glad Hand is generally played by a man. Glad Hand is this teacher type who oversees this dance at the gym. So there's a dance towards the beginning of the musical, and it's kind of a nerdy character. I think that I can get the Jets and the Sharks to get along with each other. And I can solve all this gang violence with a dance. Just have them dance together. Everything will be peachy. So yeah, so that's kind of the lead up to this particular song.
And it's a prelude to the mambo, which is a very exciting part of the
musico.
So shall we hear a little bit?
Let's hear the
West
mambo.
Side Story. All right.
Great.
We'll be right back. The exciting Mambo from the motion picture soundtrack West Side Story. And of course, Alan Osborne appearing in that production with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra.
Yes.
You were outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you. And I was saying while we were listening to that, I could talk all day about that West Side Story experience because it was incredible.
Once
in a lifetime. The people, the creative team, the cast, it was just an incredible process. And basically the whole production came together in 2 weeks, and seeing that being built from the start in this beautiful collaborative process was incredible.
Priceless.
It was.
We're about out of time, but we do want to talk a little bit about Hansel and Gretel, which is going to be presented at the University of South Dakota. And you have been cast as the mother.
I am the mother, yes. So I am working on my master's degree in vocal performance up at USD in Vermilion. And we are performing Hansel and Gretel by Engelbert Humperdinck. That is a mouthful. So we are putting this opera together. It'll be performed November 17th and 18th up in Vermilion. And we're working on hopefully taking it on the road a little bit and possibly doing a performance or two here in Sioux City, maybe at one of the schools.
And I think we'll probably have you back to talk at length about the production as we get closer to that time.
That would be great.
I'm sorry we're out of time, but Alan Osborne, it has been a delightful hour. And thank you for sharing your musical journey and memories with us today.
Gretchen, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
We'll do it again.
Okay. Thanks.
This is Siouxland Public Media, KWIT Sioux City 90.3 and KOJI Okoboji 90.7, broadcasting from the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College.